All right, welcome back to the podcast. So today I'm going to talk about some things that I like, what I'm into, what I'll probably be talking about a bit on this channel. A lot of things that I'll be focusing on. I'll probably tackle some news topics here and there, things that interest me, things that excite me. But in general, these are the things I like. And you know, I've always kind of been into the bigger properties, you know, like stuff that I grew up on, and just hoping that it'll be done right by Hollywood. But, you know, lately with the way things have been, it seems like it's been more of a race to put out content than to make good movies. But, so I'll kind of work through some of the things here. The first thing I want to talk about is Marvel. So I did not read comics growing up, but I had a lot of the toys. I had a lot of the video games. That's where I learned about most of the characters. And then, you know, I watched the X-Men cartoon and the Spider-Man cartoon when I was a kid. I know there were other cartoons, but I didn't really watch those as much. But the X-Men one was a big deal for, you know, most of my brothers and I, we dug that show a lot. And, you know, the Spider-Man one was really cool too. But, in general, I don't know a lot about the comics backstory. I've delved into some of it over the years, just kind of looking at some of the stuff they've done in the comics. But, in general, you know, I kind of had an idea of a lot of things that have been going on in the movies, you know. So, you know, when I was growing up, we had, you know, I remember the Blade movie came out. That was a big deal. And then when they did the first X-Men movie, I loved that. I thought the first X-Men movie was really good. And then the Spider-Man movies. And yeah, I remember appreciating that we had it. Now some of them come across as a little like campy and hokey, but I still appreciate the things for what they were. And I will be doing a big ranking video, a few episodes that'll be ranking the top 100 Marvel things that I've seen. And that's going to be a fun thing for me to do. I'll probably do it with a couple other things, but, you know, I was kind of toying around with the idea of doing that. And, you know, it just got me excited. I was like, why not? Let's do it. You know, it'll be a chance to talk about a lot of the movies and the shows that I've seen. Started out, I was just going to do the MCU movies. And then I was like, well, I'll do MCU alumni movies. And then now that's kind of becoming like all the X-Men movies and the Sony movies. And then it was already getting to be a lot. And then I was like, well, I'll rank the shows that I like. And then I was like, you know what, let's just do as much as, let's see if I can get it up to 100. So that's where I kind of landed with that. But yeah, in general, you know, so first Iron Man movie comes out, I'm blown away. The post-credit sequence with Nick Fury was just like the most exciting thing. Most of my friends had no idea what they were talking about, but I was so ready. And, you know, the whole Infinity Saga all the way up to Infinity War and Endgame, you know, I just really appreciated that. The way they told those stories and the way they kind of built up to that. Now we're kind of in this multiverse saga. I've tried not to be too harsh on it. I know a lot of people have been really ragging on the quality of the movies. I think that there's been a lot of pressure. You know, there's obviously the pressure of living up to the Infinity Saga, but, you know, I also appreciate that they're introducing new characters and setting up things that I hope will pay off later down the line. Because, you know, I think there's a lot of the general audience that'll see things and they don't know that some of those things are kind of like set up for later, you know. Because there were things like that I saw in the Infinity Saga where I was kind of like, huh, I wonder if they'll pay that off later. And then there's also things that, you know, we might not even think of that might pay off later. But there's a lot of people that are mad because there's not enough connectivity and this and that. I think that that's intentional. And I think we're going to work our way back to that. You know, a lot of crossovers and a lot of really cool stories and epic stories. I think that's kind of just what's been missing, is it just hasn't really felt like there's this big thing happening. Even Quantumania, like, they tried to bring in Kang, but I think it really hurt the movie that they, that Ant-Man was able to beat him at the end of the movie. You know, even though Kang's supposed to be this incredibly difficult villain, you know, and, you know, so obviously, like, that Kang could be gone for good, but the idea that there's more of them out there is exciting. So, yeah, I've been, and then there's been a few of the shows that I thought were kind of duds. Like, I didn't really like She-Hulk that much. You know, in general, I've always liked the casting. I feel like they do a good job casting the main characters. I'm not always, like, into all the little side characters they want to throw in. But, yeah, just in general, like, I understand people's frustrations about it. I'm more hopeful for the future. I think that if anyone can pull it off, it's Marvel. I know there's been the superhero fatigue argument. I'm not, like, sick of it at all. I'll continue to watch every show and movie they put out, if only just to see what they, if they can do anything cool with it. But, you know, I don't think they're at that point yet where they're ready to give up. So, yeah, you know, the next big thing is, you know, we got What If Season 2. They just wrapped up Loki Season 2. Loki Season 2 was excellent. You know, it didn't really like tie into anything else, but, you know, I think regardless, it was still a really great story, and Tom Hiddleston knocked it out of the park. And I'll talk more about that when I do the ranking video. And then the other thing we got coming is Deadpool 3, which looks like it's going to be amazing. I've seen some of the leaks. I don't want to talk about the leaks, but it showed that they're going to be bringing back, you know, characters from the X-Men films. And, like, the idea that they might make this kind of like an Endgame type movie for the X-Men saga could be really cool. And I'm hoping that, you know, I think Ryan Reynolds knows what people want. He's done really good with the two Deadpool movies. They were both incredibly entertaining and fun, and they worked really hard to make the characters from the comics accurate that needed to be accurate, while also, like, updating some characters and making them, you know, fun to have on screen for, you know, the minor roles they had. But yeah, I'm really excited for Deadpool 3. I think it's going to be amazing. And then there's the Sony movies that are coming out next year. You've got the new Kraven movie. I think the Kraven movie looks like it could be fun. You know, Sony, I really don't feel like Sony has, like, a big, like, I don't think they have, like, as much on their shoulders as, like, Marvel does to make, like, stellar movies. You know, that said, you know, I thought Venom was a good time. I thought Morbius was a good time. And I thought the Venom 2 was kind of a letdown in terms of what they could have done with Carnage. But all in all, like, I'm not mad they're making this Madame Web movie. I like the idea of introducing some live-action Spider-Women. I like the idea of, you know, this Kraven movie and kind of telling that side of the story. You know, I'd love to see Aaron Taylor Johnson come back and play Quicksilver at some point. You know, and if they bring Wanda back and give him another shot in that role, because I felt like he got shortchanged in Age of Ultron. But, you know, we'll see what happens. All right, next up we've got, I want to talk about Star Wars, because Star Wars is another big thing I had when I was a kid. I think Star Wars was bigger for me as a kid than it is now. Obviously, because the original trilogy was this amazing thing that I grew up with. And then I was, like, you know, kind of a teenager when the prequels started coming out, and I really appreciated those. I wasn't a hater on them like a lot of people were back then. I appreciated them for what they were. I recognized that the, you know, the some of the elements of, like, really the love story, the whole Anakin Padme love story, the writing for that was not great. But other than that, I was invested. And then, you know, Disney bought Star Wars, and yeah, like, we got Episode 7, which I thought was a good time. I was really excited to see what they were going to do. I was having my theories and speculations and all that stuff. But in general, I was curious to see what they were going to do. I didn't want to be that guy that was like, they should have did this or they should have did that. I was just hoping for something good. You know, and then Rogue One was something that I loved. And then Last Jedi came out, and I was rooting for it. I really enjoyed it when it came out. I thought it was a well-told story. I thought some of the action sequences were really done. I didn't hate the Canto Bite sequence like everyone else did. I understood that the whole side quest was pointless. But yeah, there was just a lot of elements of that that were kind of like, you know, but I liked that it took, I respected that it took big swings. I wasn't mad that Luke kind of ran away and it hid. I kind of wish they had a better reason for it. I wasn't a fan of, like, you know, that, like, I could understand him being tempted by the dark side, but also, like, the fact that he wouldn't try to save Kylo or Ben at some point, you know. But at the very least, I was like, okay, like, I enjoyed that. Let's see if they stick the landing, you know. Let's see how Episode 9 wraps it up. And I felt like Episode 9 really backpedaled a lot and tried to win back people that didn't like The Last Jedi. And I didn't like Episode 9 at all. And it made me like Last Jedi less, you know, because I felt like it was pretty clear they were more concerned about trying to make everybody happy instead of just trying to make a good movie, you know, which is, like I said, when I look at The Last Jedi, I was like, that was someone that was just trying to make the best movie that I could see that in Rian Johnson's head, he was trying to make the best movie he could make, you know, without just, you know, retreading old ground. But, you know, like I said, sometimes you make decisions like what they did with Luke and you outrage a lot of people. And like I said, if there were a couple things you probably could have did differently to salvage that, but, you know, it is what it is. But yeah, then Episode 9 trying to, like, really hard to be like, well, you know, we were just, you know, that was all kind of just a joke, you know. Like, it just felt like they were really like, trying too hard to make the people that hated Last Jedi like the last one, instead of just kind of writing a story that felt like it was a continuation, that felt like they were writing a story that was trying to save the franchise. And that, to me, felt like a big mistake. And then you got the shows. The shows, for the most part, have just been okay. I'm trying to think of them offhand. Okay, so The Mandalorian, I really liked The Mandalorian show in general. I have seen all of the Clone Wars cartoon and all of the Rebels cartoon, and I think that there's some really peak Star Wars moments in there, but I also understand asking somebody to sit down and watch a show like that is, anytime you recommend someone to watch a show, you're asking them to give up a lot of time. But you could probably go online and find some good clips of what you need to know, or maybe there's just like you could probably find like the 8 or 10 episodes that are worth watching, you know. But in general, that kind of led to me being way more excited about like the Ahsoka show and season 3 of Mandalorian having more focus on Bo-Katan. I appreciated a lot of that stuff. I understand a lot of people felt like it was taken away from The Mandalorian, but overall, I like The Mandalorian show. But like the Obi-Wan show, I feel like there's a really good 2-hour movie in there, and they could probably have cut out a lot of the stuff that people didn't like and it would have been way more enjoyable. And then the Boba Fett show to me was kind of a real big missed opportunity. I mean, the whole point of like bringing these characters back is to give them more what they want. And I feel like they brought Boba Fett and gave Boba Fett back and gave him exactly what people didn't want, which is Boba Fett not being a badass. And I get that, like, the actor that's playing him, Temuera Morrison, like, is probably an older guy. I know he's an older guy, probably not, like, able to do a lot of stunts and stuff. But, like, when I heard the name Book of Boba Fett, I was like, why is it called Book of Boba Fett? When I hear that, I think, oh, they're going to be telling, like, stories from all throughout his career. And to me, like, the biggest missed opportunity of that show is that they... it was just about him trying to take over Jabba's place and like be this new person and like be a better person, which is like, okay, why is he doing that? Oh, well, he went and lived with the Sand People for a while and he had a change of heart. I was like you could have gotten so much more if you had done like flashbacks and been like, all right, well, what if we go back and we see like him do this old bounty and he does it, he kills whoever, but he feels kind of crappy about it. And now he's in a position where he's got to make the same choice again. He makes the right choice, you know, and it's kind of like this redemption arc. It was like, well, you haven't really seen Boba Fett do anything bad. He didn't kill Han Solo, so he's not really a bad guy. And it's like, no, I'm pretty sure he's a bad guy. I mean, I know that the cartoons, like, he was in some of the cartoon episodes, too, and I don't think he really did anything bad in those, too, but he was usually doing some kind of bounty hunter stuff, and he was usually pretty ruthless. He was pretty much like, yeah, if you mess up, you're done. Like, you're out of here. But, like, he never struck me as, like, he didn't strike me as, like, oh, I'm going to go on a killing spree. But he always struck me as, like, if I got to take you out, I'm going to take you out, you know? So, the other thing too is like, when I think about like, oh, they're going to do a Boba Fett show, what would I like to see? Man, wouldn't it have been cool if they had brought back like all the bounty hunters from that bridge scene in Empire Strikes Back? And, you know, like the whole like show is leading towards this confrontation with this other criminal organization. And all they do is they're just like, yeah, we're a real big deal. You know, we're the biggest criminal organization ever, you know. It's like, but all they have is like, they bring back Cad Bane from Rebels, which I was excited to see. I stood up out of my chair when you first see him in the desert. But like, wouldn't it have been so much more crazy if like, yeah, we called in all these other bounty hunters that you used to work with and stuff, and they work for us now, and you got to fight them at the end instead of a bunch of nameless, faceless, you know, characters. So again, you know, I would love a crack at writing a show like that. You know, but I've never done it before. Maybe one day I'll try to write a script, who knows. But yeah, in general, oh, and Andor, I got to talk about my love for Andor. Andor is an amazing show. I loved the slow burn feel of it. I loved like the two episodes of build up and then just the episode of just like everything kind of going off. It was like just this like great rhythm of like tension and release and tension and release. And like, and there's like just a couple moments where I would get like chills. Like I've gone back and rewatched them like those moments several times because the chills you get of just like that moment where things just are popping off. And like the show did that so well. And I cannot wait for season two. Of that show. But yeah, you know, I know we've got these new movies coming out and they're talking about the Rey movie. I'm excited for that. I hope that they can just move past all of the Star Wars crap that you know, that we've had and kind of start building a new story and like a new threat, you know, something that's different from the Empire, and you know, try to like bring people back into the franchise and be excited for it again, you know? And I don't think it's that hard, you know? And I know there's a lot of people saying, let's get away from this and get away from that. I mean, I'm happy with them trying to tell stories with the, legacy characters. Like, I don't care if they recast them, like, you know, or they try to get actors that do lookalikes, like the Sebastian Stan looks like a young Mark Hamill. I'd be cool with that. I didn't hate the deep fake stuff, but it does give me that, like, PlayStation 1 bad CGI vibes. So, you know, but I would like to see, I don't want to say that, like, they need to tell stories centered around those characters, but, like, including them when it matters, you know, showing that they still have a role in the universe and that they didn't just disappear and become nothing, you know, kind of like what they've done with Luke in The Mandalorian. Like, it shows that his role, he is doing what he's supposed to be doing, trying to build up the Jedi Order. And, like, I'm hoping that with this whole threat of them bringing Thrawn back in, that he'll come and help with that, too. All right. So, that's all I'm going to say about Star Wars for now. I'm sure I'll talk more about that in depth. All right. DC. So, the DC universe, like, I didn't grow up as much on that. I always liked Batman. And I always liked Superman, but I didn't like, I don't even know if I've really seen, like, the Christopher Reeve Superman movies. I know I have them on Blu-ray, but I haven't really watched them. But, like, I saw Superman Returns, and I remember when, like, Man of Steel came out, I really liked it. And I was excited for what they were going to do with these DC movies. And then I could tell pretty quickly they were trying really hard to catch up with Marvel. And, like, I could feel like there was that pressure of, oh man, we got to do this and we got to do that. We got to get a Justice League movie out. And yeah, I remember the Justice League one came out and was pretty disappointed in that. And then, you know, it all just kind of started going downhill from there. But, and I have seen the Zack Snyder Justice League, and it is substantially better, but still, like, if, it was very long, and I could tell that they were still, like, trying to shoehorn in, like, a lot of, like, setup for other things. So I was kind of like, all right, you know, like, it was epic, don't get me wrong. But, you know, it probably could have been shorter in a lot of ways. I still, it's just, like, the meme of, like, the beginning of the movie when, like, Batman goes to recruit Aquaman, and there's just, like, 3 minutes of people singing about Aquaman when he leaves they're all just like, la, 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 singing for him as he leaves. And I was just like, do we really need this in the movie? So yeah, that was always hilarious to me. But, you know, and I was kind of on that fence of like, look, like I'd love to see him continue the story. Obviously there's been a lot of issues with how things were ran. There's the whole thing with Ezra Miller, which is a shame because I thought the Flash movie was great. I cried at the end. There was a lot of great things about it. Obviously, the CGI sucked in a lot of very important moments. The CGI sucked. And there were moments where the CGI was cool. Obviously, Michael Keaton as Batman was really cool. He had some really great sequences, and I was, you know, I liked how they handled him in the movie. Obviously, he wasn't like a central role, but overall, I really enjoyed the movie, and I felt the emotional impact of it, which doesn't happen with a lot of movies. There's always like the thing with Marvel is I feel like they're always right on the cusp of making me feel that emotion, and then they throw in like a stupid joke. Or something interrupts the moment, and it's gone, and you're just kind of like, man, I was ready to start shedding them tears right here in front of all these people in this theater. Like, I'll do it. I'll cry like a baby. I did when Tony Stark snapped his fingers. I knew it was happening. I knew it was gonna happen. Yeah. So, I'm excited to see what James Gunn's gonna do. I know he's talking a lot about it. He seems like he's really taking the job seriously. And I know there's like the news of the Superman casting looks great. Nicholas Holt as Lex Luthor. I can see it. I've seen that look Nicholas Holt can get in his eyes where he can look really menacing. So I'm all about that. I don't really care that he's casting his brother in another movie. I know a lot of people were complaining about that. I say wait and see what happens. You know? But at the end of the day, it's not as big of a deal to me. I still feel like there's this element of we got to catch up with Marvel. We got to catch up with Marvel, and I feel like that's going to affect what they eventually do. So yeah, those are like kind of like the three big movie franchises I follow. I mean, I watch a lot of movies, and yeah, I've seen a lot of TV shows, and I want to be entertained. I'm not like. I get that there's so much effort that goes in just to try to get it down. And there are times where I'm like, that would have been an easy fix, or this would have been an easy fix. But, you know, at the end of the day, I've never made a movie. So who am I to sit here and tell them what they should have done? But, you know, you never know. Maybe one day I will mess around. All right, let's talk about... I want to talk about Resident Evil for a little bit because I've been playing I played the Resident Evil 4 remake. I love the Resident Evil games. I've played pretty much all of them except for like some of like the old school shooter ones that were like the old gun games and like some of like the Game Boy games and stuff like that. Those like little spinoffs. But I've played most of like the ones that you could buy on like the marketplace right now, like the Revelations games and like all the remakes. I didn't play the original 1, 2, and 3 when it came out. The first one I played was Resident Evil 4, and then I had 5 and 6, and then all the remakes. But in general, I've always been a fan of the universe. You know, I like the idea of playing a character that's vulnerable and you're fighting these crazy creatures and you got to survive. You know, zombies and mutations and stuff like that. But, yeah, I just want to talk for a second because they just released the Separate Ways DLC, which was awesome. And I felt like that was done really well. And there's talk of more remakes and more games coming. So I'm hoping that they remake the original game and then do a remake of Code Veronica and then a remake of Resident Evil 5. Now, I don't know how they're going to do it. It seems like they're following the money trail, you know, because a lot of people would say Resident Evil 4 didn't need a remake, but they bullseyed that one. Resident Evil 4 remake was amazing. But RE5, on the other hand, was like, it was a fun game. It was a long game, but, it wasn't as widely acclaimed. Like there was a few things that didn't quite land as well. So yeah, they could, but it sold a lot, and that's kind of I think why they're going that route next. They're kind of going, oh, well, we'll make another one of these, and then that will sell, and then we'll go back and remake the old ones that didn't sell that well. But you know, that's just kind of what I would like to see. But if you've got like your opinions on it, let me know. And then in terms of the story, you know, I liked Biohazard and Village were Resident Evil 7 and 8. The story of Ethan Winters, I was into it. I liked his story, but I'm kind of hoping we'll get back to some of these other characters and, you know, maybe even wrapping up some of their stories in some ways, you know, and introducing some new characters and exploring the world. Cause you know, Resident Evil 6, they took some big swings. You know, there was a lot of very public, very large viral outbreaks. And they haven't really talked about the state of the world in the games. Like, they may have did it in some of the animated movies, which I've seen. Like, I just watched Infinite Darkness, which was a miniseries. And I watched the Death Island movie, which was a 90-minute movie. But they usually are just kind of addressing whatever situation they're dealing with. They're never like, well, this is what's going on in the world because, you know, whatever the, I want to say it was Bangkok or whatever city they were in China that got like bombed and like the whole city got turned into zombies in Resident Evil 6. Like, it's like they don't talk about like, hey, like, how did that affect the world? You know, they're usually just like, yeah, you know, there's, everyone knows it's happening now, but everyone's just kind of like whatever about it. So I'd like to see them address that more in some of these future games and be like, yeah, like, you know, there's way more threats now because of what's happened, or maybe it's one of those things like it's everyone's working on containing it as opposed to trying to fight it or whatever. So yeah, I think that would be an interesting topic to cover. So yeah, Resident Evil has been one of my favorite things. I also want to talk about the Castlevania. Castlevania is a video game series from when I was a kid, made by Konami. But Konami hasn't made any games, really any games for any of the series that it owns. I mean, and it owns quite a few pretty big properties, but they haven't made a game in a while. But the Castlevania anime, I highly recommend it. Really great. There's two shows now, but they're pretty much directly connected. There's Castlevania, and then there's Castlevania Nocturne, which just came out. And definitely recommend checking those out. Great animes, and hoping that leads to, you know, more games coming out. They just did some of the collections too in the last couple years, which I bought. So it's cool to have those games available again. So yeah, let's talk about some music. So I grew up in the 90s. I'm a 90s kid. I grew up on bands like Matchbox 20, Goo Goo Dolls, Foo Fighters, REM. I was kind of young when like grunge was a thing. So I missed a lot of the Nirvana stuff and a lot of Alice in Chains and Stone Temple Pilots and stuff. But, you know, as I got older, I started to appreciate those bands more. But, you know, and then my dad would listen to a lot of like the Eagles and U2 and Tom Petty. So I got really into those kind of rock artists that tell really great stories in their songs. And so I appreciate a lot of that, and I try to incorporate it into my writing because I'm a musician. And I'm always on the lookout for like some new good rock bands that are bringing it these days. Every now and then I get introduced to a band like my buddy Joe introduced me to Amberlynn. I got really into them. When I used to work at UPS, this guy got me into Circa Survive. I'm really into them. I just found one band called Battle Tapes. They've kind of got like a cyberpunk type of vibe. Very like electronic, but it's a band. So I've been digging them. I want to talk about the new Matchbox 20 album because, you know, there's not a lot of music news that I see. You know, obviously when they announced it, I was excited. The first single when I first heard it, I was like, it's just like, because ever since Rob Thomas went solo, I feel like the solo aspect of his career has come back into the Matchbox 20 side of it. And now I feel like they're more of a pop band than ever. Like, I get it. They were a band that wrote popular songs. But to me, those first three albums sound like a band playing music. Whereas, like, and the Exile on Mainstream thing, like EP, they still sound like a band. But then, like, on North, which was their fourth album, there was like a couple songs that felt like the band, and then there were songs that felt like, oh, we're going to write some pop songs because we, you know, we need some hits on this album. And those were, you know, and a couple of them are good. Like, I think She's So Mean is a fun song. And, you know, it's not like when it comes on at shows, I'm like, "Grr." But there's a couple that are just like, what is this? It's just like a dance song. Like if you just replaced the drums with an electronic beat, it would basically just be a dance song. And so going into this new album, I was hoping, hey, like maybe we'll get some more of that rock vibe back. And not quite, didn't quite get it. You know, and they've never been like a heavy band, but like I always like the melodic elements of their songs and like the energy, like their drummer Paul is like a really good drummer, and I don't know if he's still doing drumming on the albums, but like there were some songs where like they were using like an electronic beat over the song, and yeah, it sounds good in the song, but then like when they did like the live performance things like on Kelly, and there's like a live version of Wild Dogs, which was their first single, and it sounds just as good as what's on the album, but it sounds like a band playing the song instead of, you know, like a pop radio song. And then there was another one that they did for their other single, Don't Get Me Wrong. Again, like the live version of it to me sounds so much better and real than what's on the album. Even though what's on the album sounds good, it's like good to listen to, but it's like, to me, it's not encompassing like that this is a band, you know? And that's something I feel like is getting lost in music these days, is that feeling of a band playing their instruments. And that's something that I've been trying to keep alive in my music. Now, I'm writing pop songs and I'm writing electronic songs, and there's some songs I'm writing that have electronic beats instead of drums. But that's because I feel like those songs benefit from having that on there. You know, I'm not using electronic drums to, you know, make it sound more radio friendly. Like, I want the song to sound like how I think it needs to sound. But that said, they have a couple of songs on that album that are kind of slower electronic songs that I think work really well. Let me pull up the list here real quick, because again, like the trickiest thing is like, and Goo Goo Dolls have kind of walked that path too. They've kind of gone down the route of trying to sound like a poppier band than they started out as like a hardcore punk band. Like, you know, those first couple albums were like rah 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 rah. And you're just like, okay, yeah, here we go. All right, so they have a song called Warm Blood on the album that I think is really cool. It's just Rob Thomas knocking it out of the park vocally. And there's just this vibe to that song that works so well. And there was another song called No Other Love that's kind of like in that same vein. But yeah, like, It just didn't feel like it doesn't feel like an evolution of the band to me. It just kind of feels like how do we stay relevant? Like, I'd have more respect if they made a rock album, an album that sounds like a band playing together, and it didn't sell as well. But you know, like, and then like Rob Thomas can still make his solo. No offense to Rob, because I love Rob. Rob Thomas is one of my biggest influences. But his solo stuff's kind of fallen off for me, too. Like, I remember that first solo record really hit me. Something to Be. And then Cradle Song I thought was really great. Had a lot of really great different styles in there that I liked. And for the most part, the whole album was really good. And then The Great Unknown, it was kind of like, you know, Trust You came out, and I was like, this is kind of a goofy pop song, like, you know, but it had some gems on there, like Hold On Forever was a cool song, The Great Unknown was a cool song, and I could just, you know, and I just, That last one, Chiptooth Smile, was like another one. It was kind of hit or miss with me for the songs on there. So, yeah, I he says he'd like to be remembered more as like the Tom Petty of his generation. But, you know, Tom Petty wrote a lot of rock songs. And I was, and that said, like, some of my favorite songs in the universe are written by Rob Thomas. You know, Little Wonders, Someday, two songs that hit me hard, man. Those songs, like, I feel those songs, you know, but then there's times where I'm just like, are you just making this because you feel like you need a pop song on the record for it to be successful? Cause there's that interview that I just shared on my Facebook page about Rick Rubin and him saying, or Rick Rubin saying that, like, in order to make something truly great, you have to make it for yourself, you know, and I know Rob's talked about like how, like when you're down, that's when you write the best stuff. Like when you're going through some real hard stuff, but it's like when you're, maybe he's just been in a good place for such a long time that like it's starting to affect the music he puts out. And that's not to say he doesn't have hardships. Like I know his wife has a condition. I'm blanking on it right now. But she I'm sure that that's a struggle that he's got to work with every day and try to be there, be the best guy he can be for her. And I respect that so much, you know. But I guess there's just part of me that wishes we could get back to like that old school Matchbox 20 feel, you know? And yeah, in general, I'm just kind of missing that in music today. Like, you know, I respect a lot of artists. I try not to hate on any kind of music. There are very few artists that I don't like. I don't like where country's going. Like, obviously, country's just kind of turned into this. It's basically just like borderline pop music now, you know. And it's almost just like, how can we make the most pandery songs for as cheap as possible and put them out and make our money back, as opposed to like, you know, how country songs were even maybe 10 years ago, where like, you had guitars and banjos and yeah, the lyrics were pandering, but it was still people playing those instruments and you can respect that, you know. I feel like a lot of that's going away, and it's like being a band is way more difficult now, but there's just something about a group of people coming together to send a message, like to just really put a message out there in the world that like what they feel like they're making a difference, you know? And today it's hard because I feel like everyone gets so outraged. It's so easy to go online and complain about something, someone disagreeing with you or someone saying something you don't like. So you can't be a rebel anymore because then you lose half the fan base. And I consider myself a moderate person, so I don't really feel like there's a political party that represents me and my beliefs. You know, and that's really just that I think that both sides are so extreme now that they can't even fathom anybody saying something against them. And what's sad is that our media culture perpetuates this, us fighting with each other instead of being mad at the people in power for letting it get so bad. But yeah, like it's tough to be, you know, you say one thing these days and you get put in a box on and placed on one side of the line or the other. And I think that we should all be allowed to talk about what we believe in without dealing with so much hate and frustration about what we believe and how people react to it. But I digress on that. I'm sure I'll probably have people on here and we'll talk about that at some point, but in general, I just, you know, today I wanted to keep it about entertainment and stuff that I got going on. So, I hope everyone's doing good out there. I've been kind of sick this week. I know this time of year gets tough, but I was able to make it to the gym tonight, so I'm proud of myself for that. Like I said, I've probably mentioned it at one point, if not. But, you know, my dad passed away recently, and I've been trying to get into this mindset of just do it for dad, you know. Just push myself, and, you know, it's what he would want. He'd want me to be healthy and happy, and that's what I've been trying to do. And it's a tough time of the year. I'm single, being, you know, in a house where, you know, my father and I lived, and, you know, we were trying to make this place our oasis here, and now he's not with us anymore. And, you know, I'll tell that story at another point, but for right now, just hang in there. It's getting cold out. Stay warm. Dress warm. Don't be like me 10 years ago, wearing shorts in 40-degree weather. You know, dress up. Drink your orange juice, all that good stuff. Stay healthy. This is Will Sims, out.